Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker, and I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight for a hot, hot, hot topic.
Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I trust that all my kings and queens had a fantastic, super, glorious day. And I am so excited that we're going to continue our show. Last week we talked, I think he loves me, and Shirley, it was a powerful show. You talked about your book, so I'm so excited about, you know, the responses that we've been getting all week as it relates to last week's show.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then we're, you know, continuing this month. This is our relationship month. And it's always been one of our most listened to shows. Everyone has someone that they're either in a relationship with or been in one with. So, you know, as we continue, the topics get hotter and hotter. And tonight topics, ooh. Now we heard about him. Now let's hear about her.
Absolutely. And one of the things I got to say is that we have some men, some powerful, strong kings on the line. I have Dwight Pleasure, who's no stranger to Hot Topics from the Soul, along with Dan Smith is going to be joining us, and also Keith and Captain Mark will all be tuning in, joining us, because we always want to know what the men are thinking, good, bad, and different. We're always trying to figure them out, and they're always trying to figure us out, Shirley. So, you know, we want to hear from them, their perspective on different things. So, you know, one of the things I'd like to say about the Dwight. Oh, Dwight, Dwight, Dwight. I have a bone to pick with my friend Dwight, but I love him dearly. Dwight, are you there?
Yes, I am. Val, how you doing?
I am well. I am well. You're no stranger to Hot Topics from the Soul, and we're going to do a show once again. You know, every year we do a show with you and Dan, and we talk about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness as it relates to, you know, being in a relationship with someone and learning how to transition from that spirit of forgiveness, you know, forgiving those things that are behind, but pressing forward into the newness of what love should be. So introduce yourself, Dwight Pleasure, motivational speaker, author, life coach, trainer.
Good job, Val. Way to go. I wish I could say it like that. Excellent. What she said, everybody. But anyway, Val, you were talking about forgiveness, and you were also talking about a bone to pick. So I want you to keep that forgiveness theme in mind when you decide you're ready to pick that bone. I did a talk a couple of weeks ago called To Err is Human, But to Forgive, Divine. And so I'm boned up as far as all the forgiveness stuff. But it's good to be on the call with you. And Shirley, God bless you. Always good to hear your voice. And I just feel so honored and blessed when Valerie even suggests that she wants me to be on her very prominent call. So I feel blessed tonight, Val.
Yeah, Shirley, I'm hearing that feedback again, and you know what we have to do when we hear feedback.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dwight, one of the things we were talking about last week was how a lot of times when a man takes a woman out for dinner or to a movie or just be nice to them, how they build a relationship out of their imagination. Mm. They think that they're in a full-blown relationship. However, it's they're just friends. They just, you know, you just want to go out and have dinner with the opposite sex. Nothing intended.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you said nothing intended. Is that the norm or is that the exception?
Well, the other piece to that is we have men that take women out because they don't want the commitment aspect of it, mm-hmm. but the commitment aspect of it, but then again, they play along with it because of the fact that they feel that they can string the individual along because they know who they are and what they want, and that the fact that they want a relationship, so they take advantage of the situation.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess it depends on, you know, the two people and the situation and circumstances that they meet under, because, you know, as the Bible says, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, and what encompasses in that is that we're really complex individuals. So when two people come from a totally maybe different background, totally different upbringing, and all of the hard wiring that each of them have that's so complex and so diverse from one another. That's why when we talk about this idea of meeting and relationships, I mean, there is so much that goes into it. So, again, one person can have one thing on their mind. Like you say, the man might be in a situation where he's just looking to, you know, work up on some kind of situation where he can take advantage of it or whatever. But I don't think all men think like that. And again, relationships start at a certain level, and if they are going to, you know, be nurtured and built up, then they'll grow to another level. But one of the things when I was thinking today about this whole subject of relationships and single women and even men involved in relationships is that, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, even my own situation in terms of I've been married for 43 years. And a human being or another human being is really not easy to learn. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. This is Shirley.
Absolutely.
I would definitely agree with that. It's a learning process to learn another person.
It's a learning and it's a growing process. So as I was thinking today about this topic tonight, you know, one of the things, you know, people come into a relationship sometimes with a facade, and they have to put on certain airs and do what they think many times the other person wants them to do or to say or how they want to be. So you have two people many times are really not being themselves, so to speak. And so the problem becomes as to when the relationship needs to go deeper, if one or the other is open to going deeper into a relationship. So that's where this part about if I've been hurt before, if I've been wounded, or if I grew up in a situation where I don't really trust people, or I don't trust men, or I've been hurt by a man or hurt by a woman, that's when it really gets difficult, because then the guard goes up. And anytime you're in a relationship where one or more is guarded, the road to intimacy in terms of becoming very close in that relationship is really hindered.
Do you think that, Dwight, do you think that during that process that the other person can break down those barriers, or do you think once those barriers are up, that's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, where does, you know, then that leaves it one-sided. One person is willing to go in, the other one has barrier up. Do you think that relationship can sustain?
The relationship can sustain as long as both, this is just my opinion, as long as both the people are open and not necessarily trying to force the relationship. And sometimes, you know, people don't grow together at the same level. And so many times, you know, you're going to run into difficulty. And then you have some people, and I'd say maybe some men even, that the hunt is almost better than capturing the game. And oftentimes when a person gets to the point to where they've been successful, so to speak, in capturing that woman, it might be, then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the relationship begins to break down because intimacy is not something that person was looking for. They were basically enamored by the chase. And then, so when it gets to be where some commitment needs to be made, then a person begins to look at the other person and find faults and be critical of them, and eventually that relationship is going to break down and it's on to the next victim. And this can go on for quite a while until that person begins to realize and find out that they're afraid of intimacy. They are afraid of love.
Mm.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Afraid of love. Not everyone that gets involved in a relationship really is even capable, because of whatever kind of injuries that have gone on in their life, capable of taking that relationship to fruition. And then if by chance the relationship gets to the point to where somebody comes up with a bright idea of let's get married, let's jump the broom, and when you haven't really worked out some of the preliminary stuff, that's why when I do weddings or if I do counseling a couple, I tell them, the decision you're about to make is going to be one of the biggest steps of faith next to your relationship with God that you will ever make. Because two people come together, stand before a minister, rehearse some vows, and after that ceremony, the marriage starts. And everything after the I do is really something by faith, because you really don't know. And so you leave that ceremony hand in hand, taking one of the biggest steps of faith some people ever take. And we find out many people begin to walk that walk, and they find out somewhere down the road that they really, really, really made a mistake.
Wow.
Wow.
And what do you do then?
What do you do?
Well, I tell you what some people do. They become ships passing in the night. They just basically, you know, stay together and get along just to get along. And the level of intimacy gets to a certain point and you never really grow any deeper. And I'm going to say this. I've been married 43 years, and there are areas and parts of the relationship where we are still growing. And either I'm a slow learner, or the process of becoming one is not as easy as some people make it out to be. Why? Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the challenge of bringing two souls together and merging them and allowing them to become one is clearly one of the most difficult processes, I think, that we undertake as human beings. And that's why, you know, we stand at the altar and we say, until death do us part. One of the things my wife and I, when we came, I came back home after a 5.5 year separation, was, and we were going through many difficult things trying to heal our marriage. And we had to come to one point to where we said, honey, whatever it is that we are faced with and are challenged with, we have to just make a decision that whatever it is, we just going to have to figure out a way to work it out. And Val, I tell you, Shirley, I tell you, that one of the that's been one of the things that has kept us together 29 years beyond the breakup.
Wow.
Is just realizing that there's no problem, there's no challenge, that if we are committed to working it out together, we're going to come up with a solution.
That is awesome, Dwight. And you said, how many years have you been together?
We've been married for 43 years, and we was courting a few years before that. I was running around there
wow.
trying to, you know, try chasing them Daisy Dukes, okay?
Well, Keith, you've been listening in to Dwight and I's conversation. You want to chime in?
Well, I just elaborate on what Dwight, you know, being married for 41 years, I think that's awesome, you know. Not everybody can do that, you know. And I was just in church on Sunday, and it was a Valentine's message, you know. And the minister, he quoted a scripture in Malachi, and I never even paid attention to it until he quoted it, you know. But it says, in Malachi it says, God hates divorce.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that scripture because I know when I was married the first time, I wanted to get that was the first time it came into my mind that I just wanted out of this situation. Those that are tuning in for the first time, I was married for 19 years and was a victim of domestic violence through 17 years of the marriage, from 3 months into the 30 days into the marriage until 17 years later. And at that time, I fought my way through. I did not want to get out of the relationship. And then when I said I had enough, I wanted out, I stumbled across that scripture and I was like, no.
Yeah, well.
But. Yes, it's been said that he hates divorce, but Dwight, help me here.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to elaborate on says is physical, when you're being physically abused and sexually abused, it's time to get out, you know, with no hesitation, you know. I mean, the scripture does say God hates divorce, but there are certain things that you just don't tolerate in a marriage, you know, because you just don't tolerate hitting on a woman or, you know, cheating on a woman. And, you know, those are the two main reasons that you're modified to get out of the relationship, but no strength of peace.
You know, Brother Keith, and by the way, how you doing? Good to hear your voice.
How you doing, man? I'm great.
She said, Keith, I didn't know who she's talking about, but I do now. Great hearing your voice. You know, I totally agree with what you just said about the conditions kind of sort of that we kind of can bow out on. But I want to add a third one, and that is emotional abuse. And I'm telling you, we do a study at our church called Making Peace with Your Past, Help for Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families. And I'm telling you, people get in those groups and circles, and they talk more about the abuse that they've undergone emotionally than I hear them talk about in terms of physical abuse or even sexual infidelity. The mind, and when people begin to play games with their partner's mind and begin to inflict emotional and you know, trauma to them based upon the words that they say, how they treat them, or even what I was caught up doing one time. I used to get upset, and I would just, you know, use the silent treatment. Well, the Lord had to snatch my collar and tell me, boy, that's abuse. When you're withholding love from someone that you're committed to and promised to love and cherish until death do you part, that's just as much a sin, that's just as much abusive as if you had opened up your mouth or even raised your hand to the person. So there are a lot of, you know, reasons, and I don't know how we kind of went down this road here, but many times, and I was thinking of someone like they get married and then they get divorced. Well, you're a different person after the divorce, obviously, than you were in the courtship leading up to the actual marriage. And people can really warp and change on the other side of a divorce. So now, when it comes to courting and when it comes to getting involved in relationships, first of all, it takes many people years sometimes before they are even open to even starting to talk about having a relationship with someone else. Why? The Bible says a wounded soul, who can bear? A wounded soul, who can bear? So you're right, you're absolutely right, and I think, again, there are all kinds of types of abuse that can be inflicted, either the man on the woman or the woman on the man, that may make that relationship, because the Lord said we need to dwell in peace. And if you're fighting and cussing and acting crazy and doing all kind of stuff, that's not dwelling in peace. So you got to do what you got to do in order to have peace, because ain't nothing like peace of mind. Hello, somebody.
I know that's right, Dwight, but, you know, and I want to ask this question to you and Keith, if you would, that how important is communication and affection in a relationship?
I think
well, Keith, you begin, and then I need more volume on you, Keith, and then Dwight, you can respond.
Okay. Well, I think communication is very important in a relationship. Just knowing how the other partner feels, how was his day at work, I mean, just communicating, you know, I think it brings you closer, you know, that if you talk on a daily basis, just trying to understand each other. You know, in the beginning, nobody really knows each other. You know, you don't really know one another until you start, you know, communicating. As the years go by, then you get to know each other, but you constantly have to just continue to communicate on a daily basis. Just talk about the marriage, talk about the kids, sometimes talk about work, but the communication is very important, you know. And good communication, not like Dwight was saying, the verbal abuse or the silent treatment, you know. Good communication is very important in a relationship, you know, very important.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways, another way I kind of look at this whole communicating thing is many times we communicate more and say more to our spouse or to our significant other in our heads and in our minds than when we open up our mouth and actually decide to speak. And that's a powerful thing, because there are things that we get when we get into a relationship that in our mind we really would like to say to this other person. I mean, it's good stuff sometimes, and it's needful to say, and sometimes it's speaking the truth in love, and it may not be something that they really do want to hear, but they really need to hear. But because we've tried to communicate many times and got shut down, or tried to communicate and were always misunderstood, or tried to communicate and what we said was judged as crazy or stupid or mean or nasty, we get to the point many times in a relationship to say, well, if I'm going to risk opening up my mouth and really speaking from my heart and telling this person what's going on the inside of me, rather than take a risk of suffering some kind of trauma as a result of doing it many times, we just keep our comments and keep our words in the privacy of our own minds. So the point is that very little real communicating goes on. There's this surface stuff where we kind of talk about the ball game and talk about, you know, who shot John. But when it comes to talking about, especially us men, how what you did or what you said made me feel, that's where the shutdown takes place. But that's the communicating that leads to intimacy, when I'm able to open up and into me you see. And as we mutually open up and allow ourselves to be seen on the inside, or to be seen in terms of what's really on our mind, even though sometimes it's a risk, that's where real intimacy and growth and maturity takes place in a relationship.
Well, I'm going to bring Shirley back in, but one of the questions I want to ask Dwight that you can answer for me is, why is it sometimes that men don't want that intimacy? They don't want to expose themselves and be vulnerable to that person that they're supposed to be in love with.
Because of fear. And why the fear is there, it could be for any number of reasons. But many of us men, we don't know how to be loved. We don't know how to let another person in. Because a lot of times, if I let you get too close to me and we begin to get some kind of level of relationship, well, the fear I have is you might not like what you see. Remember that book that Powell wrote, Why I Don't Tell You Who I Am? Because you might not like me, and that's all I have. Because if you really knew me, many people feel if you really knew me from the inside, you might not like what you see. And then guess what? You're going to leave me like the last person did. So I keep the guard up. I'll let intimacy go only so far. And then I'm going to communicate to you that that's as far as this thing is going. And then that's the frustration. When the other side is really coming at the man in a genuine way. But you got to understand, the man sometimes doesn't mean no harm. It's just that you've gotten into a level, a place in him where the fear kicks in, the anxiety kicks in, and things begin to break down. And you can tell it as soon as you get to that place that the door is shut. I can't go any further.
Wow. I have a question on that, Dwight. So when you get to that level, as a woman, and as a woman of mature age, and you see that, because there's so, you know, I hear what you're saying about when a brother gets there and everything, but when that woman is there in that relationship with them, and they're trying to break that barrier, it seems like... and this is from experience as well as from talking with other people about it. The man becomes more shut down and more withdrawn from the relationship, but yet still expresses that they want the relationship. And that's why, you know, like our topic tonight, she thinks she loves him. Now, do she really love him to stay there, even though the intimacy is not there and they see that barrier there? Or is it something that they too may be feeling that he's going to leave me, he's getting ready to leave me, but he can communicate no, 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 but he's yet not letting that barrier down. He's still got that guard up. And then at dusk, then I, from my experience, women start to build their barrier, say, I have to protect my heart. So that's when the communication breaks down even more. How do a couple break through that? What are some of the suggestions that you have for what steps can they take?
Yeah, anybody else want to chime in? I think some other brothers on the line there.
Who else we have? And you have Keith?
Well, I have Captain Mark from Chicago.
Captain Mark! How are you, Captain Mark?
Captain Mark's in the house. How is everybody doing?
Wonderful. It's so good to hear your voice.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Likewise, even though the topic of tonight's conversation has almost made me nauseous, because you know, I love to hear people talk about relationships, but you got to be real. You really want to be real when you're talking about this relationships, because there's a lot of people out here hurting and looking for relationships. And oh my goodness, it's good to talk that good talk, gentlemen. And but it's phony baloney. Did I stutter?
Why did you say? Okay, and why do you say that?
Well, because of the fact that you have to realize that, and especially among our people, there are not many men out here. I've said this before on your show, Doctor, and I will say it again, that if you take 10 black men that are out here, half of them are not equipped to take care of a family and children. A couple of them are on the down low. The other ones, a couple more on drugs. You might have one or two out of 10 that can qualify, actually be your man. And many women are being so choosy that they just don't get chosen. The fact is that I just experienced Valentine's Day that was just extraordinary to me. I have a beautiful wife who shared three friends with me. We all went out to dinner, and I got to be Sir Lancelot to all four of them. You know, we went to an event, and some 200 people there, probably 25 men. You're talking about a shortage of men. It's time to step up. And in these relationships, you have to be more giving and more sharing. For real, and if you're not real with yourself about it, you're just playing a phony baloney game. That's what I mean.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. I was talking with a good friend of mine today, and she was sharing with me that on Steve Harvey's show, he had a panel of men that were actually successful professional men, and they had lots of money. They were millionaires, but he had them dressed down and become, you know, regular, everyday Joes. And these women who were, like, sophisticated women passed these gentlemen up because they didn't feel that they met the criteria of what they were looking for. And then at the end of the show, they revealed to them that these brothers that you passed over weren't actually brothers trying to make it. These are brothers that have made it. But because you thought your initial thought process or visualization of who they were, you thought yourself higher or mightier than you should have thought and didn't want to give the brothers a chance, bottom line. So we have a lot of that going on.
Dr. Parker, why didn't they just open their minds wide enough so that they could just be listened to? You know, men as well as women just want to be listened to. We all to have our story listened to. That's all. It's not about the money. I didn't have enough money to take care of all four of these ladies that I took out. I mean, I was able to take care of that for that one evening. I certainly don't have the type of money to take care of all four of their needs, nor do I want to. After 26 years of marriage, oh my goodness, I don't have the wherewithal or the desire at my age to even try that. But at the same time, I have to tell you, I felt so, so fortunate that I was there to spend time with them and listen to them and just stare into all of their eyes without my wife getting jealous. I was able to listen to them. And there were just so many thousands and thousands of women who were good-looking women who had great income who spent this Valentine's Day alone.
Keith, I think you want to chime in being a single man.
Well, I mean, I can certainly agree with him on that, you know, as far as the women, you know, intelligent women, you know, spending Valentine's alone. And I do understand why certain things happen to certain people, you know. And I think one of the number one reasons is past relationships, you know, has a very, very impactful effect on women who have been into, you know, negative relationships. And most of the time, they don't choose because of that. Either if they get into another relationship, that's going to have a big impact on how successful that relationship is. You know, and, you know, the Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind you and pressing forward. But most of the time, women cannot do that, you know, because they go into that relationship, you know, is this going to happen again? You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I understand what you're saying.
Is it going to happen again? Instead of going into a relationship, believing the best. Believing the best for the mate and believing the best also for yourself and the people that are around you. But most of the time, women do not do that. They take that that baggage into the next relationship, not just the baggage, but also, you know, at a spiritual point, the soul tie. That's very important in a relationship, you know. The soul ties that you have with the other past relationship, you know, that has a big effect on any other relationship also. But it's the way that you go into it, how you go into it, seeing the relationship, is going to make it work. You know, whether it's communication or not, if you go in looking at it, wanting it to work, it's going to work.
But that's going to be ridiculous. How is anyone expecting a relationship out of every encounter? Women aren't always looking for relationships. What's the matter with enjoying the person that you're with for that evening or that day or that week? What's the matter with laughing at their jokes or letting them laugh at your jokes? What's the matter with experiencing something and living in the moment? That doesn't mean that you have to be looking for a relationship. Everybody's not looking for a relationship. They're just looking to be happy.
Yes.
Okay, so Captain Mark, at the top of the show, one of the things I brought out and communicated was that there are women that go out with men that take them to dinner or go to the movies, and as far as that woman is concerned, because we are emotional creatures and we gravitate to the opposite sex. It's a natural affection that we have, an emotion that we do, that we gravitate. So if someone is treating us, especially if we're women waiting and looking for that Mr. Right, and someone is showing an enormous amount of attention and calling every day, texting every day, going out to dinner and the movies, then in our minds, we'd be like, okay, is this a relationship? Are we in a relationship? And then sometimes you don't want to come right out and say, are we in a relationship, for fear that that person may say no. So those of you that are listening, my ladies and the men that are tuned in to Hot Topics from the Soul tonight, talking about I Think She Loves Me, if you want to chime in, just press 1 if you have a question and comment. So, Captain Mark?
Everybody is not looking. Everyone is not looking for these relationships. That, you know, this is some mystical thing that, and it's great that you all are talking about the relationships based on the Bible and so forth. That is great. But at the same time, the reality of the situation is there's an awful lot of lonesome people out here that don't give a damn about holding hands and walking through the park and listening to the birds. They don't care about walking down the beach and playing with your feet in the sand. what they care about is somebody to listen to them, somebody to just be there to listen to them. And that's what that's what it's all based on. It doesn't have to always end in sex. It doesn't have to always end in holding each other and being physical.
Right.
You see, the whole thing is that I know for a fact of how many lonesome people that are around me, because every event I go to, and I think that everybody on this show today, I think that everybody has melanin in their skin to an excess of more than what I have. I'm going to tell you like it is. And when you take a look among our people, we're just absent as men trying to have a relationship, trying to get into a joyful experience is what I'm talking about. You know, some of the wildest women I've ever met in my life, I've met in a church.
Mm.
And I kept it as real as I could. You know, I'm not talking about going to a strip club. I'm not talking about hanging out at the lounge. I'm not talking about going to the parties with my friends. Some of the wildest women I've ever known in my life I found in churches. So I know that it was all based on these women being deprived of somebody to listen to them. You know, everybody has a story. I keep saying that over and over. And you all are thinking that everybody wants to have a relationship of love and holding hands and understanding each other and praying with each other. What about going to the movie and laughing together? You know,
okay.
What about taking a drive? What about taking a drive? What about talking about some good hot times that you all had with, other people? And being real about it.
Well, thank you so much for that comment. Caller 2715, you're live.
Yes, hi. I'm listening in on this conversation, and I'm chomping so much on the bit. It's taken me a while, but I finally have gone back to school after 30 years of being out of school. And I realized that there's a lot of things that are going on, and I want to learn more. And so I'm willing to go through the things that I need to go through to learn. And I'm beginning to realize that relationships, it's a learned skill set. You have to want to learn and to adjust for it to become a better relationship. My wife, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when my wife comes home from work, that she's going to want to talk. I don't have to solve any problems, but she wants to know that I'm listening. So for a good 45 minutes, I just listen. It's so important to her. But it's taken me a while to learn that skill set, because I used to want to give an answer. And this is what you need to do, this, that, and the other. And I just realized that to have a good marriage, you know, the wife was talking about for 43 years, he's been married, but for 5 years, they were separated. And I think that absence sometimes can make the heart grow fonder. You said earlier that, and the Bible says that God hates divorce. But I realized that when my wife and I were separated for a while, it was during that separation that I realized, this is a good woman. I need to get back. I need to call this woman up and renew this relationship. And I think sometimes people will miss that because they have to stay married. So he sleeps upstairs and she sleeps downstairs, but we're not divorced. But yet we are. And so they have to stay in that relationship, and until you say, you know what, let's see what happens. And it was during that breakup that I realized just how good a woman she is. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I understand, and I concur with that, because even in the midst of my situation, it was abusive, and my ex and I separated for a year and a half, and he wanted to come back, but I was like, oh, no. I was so glad to be free. I was so ecstatic and happy to be free. I didn't know what to do. So when he said he wanted to come back because he realized he had a good thing, but the good thing had passed him by. It was all over and done. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us. Caller 8735, you are live.
Hi, Val. This is Dan, Dan Smith.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I've been listening, and all the things I wanted to say, the other panelists have already said, and I would think of something and somebody would say. This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. But what I want to talk about is intimacy, risk, and expectations, and the dynamics between them. See, as already Keith said, you know, when we go into a relationship, we bring with us all of our other relationships. And at a certain age, if we're still looking, that means we've had some unsuccessful relationships in the past, going all the way back for men, often, to our mothers. And we are attracted to people who are like our mothers, but at the same time, there are certain aspects of that that we don't want to be reminded of. And sometimes without knowing it, we are reminded of that, and we react to it. And I think one of the reasons that we react is we develop relationships throughout our lives. We develop friends. And think of your best friends. At any point, did you ever ask yourself, what if this person doesn't like me? Can I be my real self in front of them? Because we didn't have those expectations in the way. We were just letting it develop under its natural course. But marriage and long-term relationships are different because we start throwing all those what ifs, and it's really no, the risk is no different than starting a business. You're going to put your money up. All of a sudden, the things you need answered are way different than when you were jumping into it without putting anything on the table. When we get into a relationship that we want to be long term, we're putting a lot on the table. And as Dwight said, intimacy is into me you see. And as was talked about, our stories, you know, we don't have to say everything up front before we decide to move forward. What we have to be is our genuine self. And the other person's your genuine self and says, I accept you, flaws and all. My wife accepts me, flaws and all. I accept her, flaws and all. I love her, flaws and all. And we've been married for 22 years, and now the stories about her past and my past are moments of discovery, moments of further intimacy as to how she became who she is, how I became who I am, not a threat. And then the final thing I want to say is a lot of times when we get into a relationship, we feel like we have to abandon other close relationships with the opposite sex. And that's really not fair to the relationship because then you put the expectation of everything you need from the other sex, including just simple conversations, it's going to come from one person. That's not realistic. And why,
that's right.
The question isn't, why are we intimidated by our partners having other friends of the opposite sex? What is it inside of us that is triggering? And if we can deal with that and we can talk about that and we can allow ourselves to be who we are. What I love about going home to my wife is I don't have to change. Now, when I used to go home to my parents' house, just like Eddie Murphy said in one of his comic skits, Eddie Murphy talked about how rich and famous he was, and he'd go home and Mom would say, take out the trash, Eddie. And he became the little kid again. I don't change when I go home. You know, and together we don't change. And if I start to notice we're changing, I know something's going on, something that I need to address, something I need to bring to the surface so we can have that conversation.
powerful, Dan. Thank you so much for sharing that. We always run out of time when we do these relationship talks, and all of you that have tuned in tonight, I invite you to join me next Tuesday, and we can continue the conversation. I think she loves me. I'm going to go to caller 5676. You are live.
Good evening, Val, and everybody. My perspective is a little different because I am a single man. So my experience, I have been married before, and in a sense, I'm separated, as it were. But in my looking for another mate, a partner, for me, you know, it's, you know, when we talk about we listen to our wives or women want us to listen to them, oh, that's great. That means she knows you or you know her, but she doesn't know you. And the word, a key word for me tonight, you mentioned communication, which means to divulge or to tell something, how you feel or what's going on inside of you. Well, yes, that makes a man vulnerable. I think they call it transparency. But the fear that a person has is, in fact, as was stated, that a person may not like you. I think we have to understand that women are different. They're physically different, and emotionally they're different. But in order to have that intimacy, in my mind, is that not only do I get to know her, but she has to get to know me. The problem that I've had is, as someone stated, they may not like what they see. I think there are a lot of women out there that are very vain, and men as well, that are very vain and caught up into what their ideologies of a successful person is. But the fact is that when you find a person that is willing to stick and stay despite what they see in you, then it's easier for a male when he has a confidence, it's easier for a man to open up to a woman. And I to address one of your questions or comments earlier, for me, if I know that you're going to stay there, in spite of what you see coming out of me, not that what's in me is good and not that I'm not willing to work on that, but if I see that I have someone who is not caught up in vanity or vainness and is really willing to stay and to see that side of me and yet not run, but to either help me work through it or just to be there while I work through it, then I'm not opposed to being transparent. I can open up. I will open up. But when you begin to open up and then you stop getting the return phone calls, that is what causes a person to build up a wall. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for sharing that. Caller 7961, you're live.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to share. It's great to be able to have this conversation, and there's a couple of things that I like to contribute to the conversation. As you talked about communication, I had an opportunity to connect. I had an opportunity to connect with women across the country, and they're oftentimes discussing issues dealing with effective communication. I believe I heard it was Keith talked about good communication, but I think the key in one of the main areas that we need to spend attention on is effective communication. The reality is we communicate all the time, even in our silence, and I believe Dwight used that as an example.
Yes.
How often have we had conversations or conflict as a result of some body language, be it an eye movement or how you had an expression on your face and reactions that our body communicates a lot more than the words that we speak. And that the spirit, even, you know, as we talk about how communication is so important in establishing and maintaining a relationship, our spirit oftentimes moves from one person to another, and we don't use words at all. And I think also as we think about relationships, I'm glad that the one caller talked about our relationships with our parents. If you're fortunate enough to have a nurturing parent in your life, especially of the opposite sex, men having a nurturing mother or women having a nurturing father, I think a lot of times it's very clear that we try to model that relationship in the relationships we seek. And that experience is not a shared experience of the other person that's in the relationship. And so a lot of times conflict arise as a result of not matching that relationship. And that's not fair to either person in the party that's trying to build a relationship. So, again, that effective communication is so central because we all have baggage. We have baggage due to our own experiences. We have baggage due to our perceptions, our stereotypes. And one of the things I wanted to highlight, too, is that box that we call tales of vision. It tells a vision. And a lot of times people model their relationships based on the vision that they see in that box. That's not realistic, and that creates a sociable or a lack of sociability within communities and within relationships because they're not able to create that perfect form or perfect level of interaction that they're trying to live up to because they're using a standard that's not realistic. So it'd be interesting to hear perspectives on that perception about relationships as well. I think a lot of times we do find ourselves trying to live and create relationships that aren't realistic because not allowing the journey. We're not allowing the journey to be able to lead us rather than trying to meet a standard that isn't real.
Thank you so much for sharing that. As I said, we always run out of time, and I do apologize that I'm not going to get a chance to get to everyone this evening, but I invite you to please tune in next Tuesday for another Hot Topics from the Soul. I think she loves me. I guess we're going to have to do part two, Shirley, but
yes,
we're going to continue
we
next week with how important is one's past in a relationship and what baggage is too much baggage and what are men looking for in a relationship and what is it that women are looking for in a relationship. So we're going to pick up with that next week. And again, I invite you to join me. And I do apologize for the technical difficulty with the sound. It has been very distracting, but if you would bear with me and join me again next week, we can hopefully get these kinks knocked out. So Keith, I thank you so much for sharing and coming on, Dwight and Dan and Captain Mark and all our other guests that tune in. You know, you've been very helpful, very inspiring, and I'm sure that our queens learned a lot from listening to you speak today because I know I've certainly been enlightened and I've been blessed by what you've had to say. And Shirley, you have a book out that I want you to give the information on how individuals could get that, please.
I have a book out called Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. You can get it at Amazon.com in ebook format, and you can get it on my website. You can get hard copies, and that's ShirleyMCarter.com. And it's also on my Facebook. There's a Facebook page for it. Again, the book is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man.
Thank you so much. And after this show is over, you can download it. Go to Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able to download this show and email it to a friend, family member, or just go over some of the notes that you've written down and you want to hear it again, email it to a friend. And I'll see you next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Standard Time, for Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless.